shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they don't and they won't, and that's where that is. And welcome to our program tonight. We are on, as I mentioned, till 1 a.m. on the West, 4 a.m. out East. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video of our show as well as listen to the show here on the air. With a backstage pass, you can actually hear the audio of the show, too. So I don't know. We always have people asking, well, where do I hear a live stream? Well, on our website, you not only get a live stream of the show, you get our ugly kissers, too. And you also have thousands of hours of archive material, thousands of hours of thousands and thousands of hours and thousands of hours. It just goes on forever at philhenryshow.com. Final score in tonight's game against, Kentucky and Kansas. Was it 67-59, Bud? I believe that was the final I had. I just pulled it off, fresh off the wire. But Kentucky beats Kansas to win the national championship in college basketball. And the final, of course, at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So lots and lots of blue represented there. And Kentucky entering that game with a record of 37-2, winning the national championship. And at least one friend of mine out watching the game tonight had a gathering at his house. Steve Bozell is joining us here tonight. How are you doing tonight, Steve? Did you have a good time?
You know, other than what happened.
Well, I want to get into that, too. So you had how many guys came over?
Oh, yeah, we had, are we on here right now?
Yes, sir.
We had probably four or five. I had four or five other than Cliff. These are all my crew foremen. These are all the the foremen on all the jobs we have, you know.
You have a construction contracting job.
That's correct, yes.
So you have lots of different jobs going at one time.
When times are good, yes, we do. Things have been a little lean, but we're getting back up to it, so we're doing some commercial work and so forth.
So you had the guys over.
Yeah, we did, and I'm not a. I like to have my workers, my crew, and people I work with. I like to entertain. We'll have a barbecue now and again. We'll have people come over. I think it's good for work. I think it's good to have good relationship with your employees.
No, that's a great idea. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we had the game on tonight, and my wife made tacos. You know.
Uh huh.
And we had the wives come over. I don't drink per se alcohol, but I do want my crew to think I'm, you know, a regular guy. I don't want them to think I'm some one of these. I've seen so many of these guys that don't drink who work on construction crews, and I've got nothing against people who believe in God, and I don't have anything against Jesus Christ or the Christian faith, but. When my crew shows up in the morning to start work, generally they got a radio with them, and generally the young guys are listening to, you know.
Listen to rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly. They've got the rock stations on, and they're listening to some, you know, one of the kids is listening to some hip-hop or whatever you want to call it. But when we get on site sometimes, there'll be another subcontractor there, maybe a painter, maybe an electrician. He's got a Jesus station on, you know, and that. I can tell puts my crew off, so I try.
You know, that's funny, because I remember when I worked in construction, I used to see that.
It's nothing that I want my crew to feel comfortable, so.
So, you don't drink, but you drink around them.
I don't drink at all, but when I do drink around them, I've never told my crew that I don't drink, so I pretend. You know, I get some of this near beer, one half of 1%,
uh-huh.
And I drink that. But I don't want my crew to think I'm a goody two-shoes and that I'm one of these guys that plays all these Jesus radio. So I want them to think I'm drinking beer. So tonight I was drinking lots of this near beer, and I was pretending to be, to make a long story short, I was pretending to be drunk. And I guess I pretended too good or not good enough or something, because when Cliff's wife, Sandy, walked by me, my hand swung out and it hit her backside, the back of my hand.
All right, now this guy is one of your crew guys. His name's Cliff Pettigrew, and this was his wife.
His wife, Sandy, yeah. And she turned around and looked at me, and I, of course, I want everyone to think I'm drunk, so I just slurred, you know, I said something, I forget how. And Cliff comes over here and starts getting up in my face a little bit in my house. And I told him, you know, I tried to act as drunk as I could to show that I didn't mean to do that.
Well, let me ask you a question here. You're not drunk.
No.
So you did hit her backside with your hand.
I did, yeah, but I did, yes, sir.
And so you did that intentionally.
But that's not the, yeah, you could say that I did, yes, sir, but that's not the point of what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is he thought I was drunk. All of my crew members thought I was drunk.
Did your wife? You know,
well, my wife knows I don't drink, so she knew that I was just putting that on. And my children, too.
So, but you felt that the crew members thought you were drunk. So you hit her backside, and your employee gets angry.
Yeah, well, that's what I can't figure out. Because why would you get angry at a drunk man for doing something sloppy that he didn't mean to do? You see what I'm saying?
Well, this man, Mr. Pettigrew, who is an employee of yours and was a guest in your home, you hit his wife's rear end with your hand.
Yeah, yes, sir, I did. And I apologized to him, and I you got to make it look good if you're pretending you're drunk. So I was saying, I forget how I did it, but I was all, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, that kind of thing. And he was upset with me because she was still rubbing her backside like I really hit her hard, and I guess maybe I did, I don't know. But he said, why don't you watch what you're doing? I said, and I kept saying to him, but I'm drunk.
But you were not drunk.
No, I was not drunk, but I, as far as he's concerned, I was. Why would he not? See, that's what I don't understand. And my wife, when I tried to talk to my wife about it tonight, and this is the part that gets emotional, after everyone left, I said, "Why? How could that be that he got angry at me if I'm drunk?" And she just looked at me and shook her head as if she was married, you know, to the biggest, I don't know, the look she gave me was like she was married to just this, the biggest turd, I guess, if you want to call it that, in the world. And she even laughed. And I told her, I said, that, you know, that hurts me when you laugh. And she said, but you have to understand what an ass you are. And I said, I can't feature that at all. And that's why, you know, I called a bud, and I called some of the other people, and I called you.
Well, you're talking about Steve. You're saying we're talking to Stephen Bozell tonight, folks, about a party he had at his house where he doesn't drink, so he pretended he was drunk. You're pretending you're drunk, by the way, for your crew. Why can't you just tell them that you don't drink?
Because I told you, if you tell a these guys work in construction. If I have them over to watch a basketball game and I'm not drinking, they're going to feel very uptight and very like they can't hang loose and watch the game. And they'll think I'm a Jesus freak, and, you know, and I'll start. You don't understand. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. It's much easier to just pretend like you're drunk so that they'll, you know, feel more comfortable around you.
Okay, so you're pretending you're drunk, and in the process of pretending that you're drunk, you hit this woman's rear end with your hand.
Yes, sir, I did.
And you don't know why. The man, the husband, the guy that you know, Mr. Pettigrew, right?
Yeah, Cliff Pettigrew.
You don't know why he got angry at you because you were pretending you were drunk.
Yes, sir. Essentially, that's my point, because... Yeah.
Well, I mean, he got angry at you because you hit his wife.
Yes, but I'm a drunk man.
Okay, let's forget for a moment that you're pretending you're drunk. Let's just say you are drunk. Mr. Pettigrew believes you're drunk.
Well, he does. He did believe... He does believe that I'm drunk, okay? That's not even an issue. If you look at a drunk and he hits your wife on the backside, you're going to go, yeah, well, guy's drunk. Drunks do that.
No, that's not what you're going to do. Now, have you ever drank alcohol in your life?
No, sir.
You've never been around people that drink?
I've been around it.
Well, and you've never seen drunks act in an inappropriate way with women?
Yeah, but you always say, oh, that guy's drunk. I mean, I had a guy, look, you know, a guy one time when I was first dating April, and we were over here at the Calabasas Saloon, and this guy walked up to April and squeezed. You know, he was, this guy was really drunk, really hammered, and they told me he was really hammered. He walked up and from behind her and just squeezed, put his hands around in front of her and squeezed. And
you're kidding. I mean, that is a fight. That's a fist fight right there. You know?
No. Ms. Henry, understand something. This guy was really hammered.
It doesn't make any difference if he's hammered. I mean, in my opinion, it doesn't. I mean, a guy should be able to hold his liquor.
So you're saying even a drunk is going to get beat up? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, a drunk's going to get beat up most of the time because he doesn't know how to control his intake of alcohol. And so he's sort of viewed as a guy that should have known better. You know?
Yeah, exactly. He should have known better, but he's drunk. See, the problem I'm having is Pettigrew got up in my face, and I don't know whether I need to fire this man or not.
And you're going to fire this guy? Why would you fire him?
Because he got into my face even though I was drunk. I know I'm pretending, but you got to just look at it as if I was drunk.
You're going to fire this guy after he got angry at you for slapping his wife's ass. Excuse my language. And
yes, sir, because he should have known that a drunkard. And I apologized over and over and over again.
And he should have known that a drunkard is just going to do that. That's the way it is with drunks.
I believe so, yes, sir. You're telling me now it isn't. And I've got a decision to make.
And all right, well, can you hold on for a minute here? Because we're past our break time.
I've got a decision to make, though. And
can you hold on? Because we're past our break time.
Yes, sir.
All right. Stephen Bozell on the line with me. From Corona, California. Whatever happened at his house tonight? Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. He was pretending he was drunk. He slapped this guy's wife on the ass. The guy got angry. The guy's an employee of Steve's. Steve didn't think the guy should have gotten angry. He should have said, oh, well, the guy's drunk. So Steve's thinking of firing this guy. Now, on top of everything else, he wasn't really drunk. He was pretending it. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Making it sound like I'm retarded or something. I'm not.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show this Monday night as we discuss the aftermath of the NC2A championship game. This evening, Kentucky defeats Kansas 67-67. Steve, you saw the game, right?
Yes, sir.
What was the score?
That was I think Kentucky won the game, and right now we're checking on the score.
Okay. Well, it's 67-59, bud. Thank you. 67-59.
Yeah, we got the. Hold on, I'll check on it for you.
No, we got it right. We got it, Steve.
You have it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because part of the night was so emotional that it was difficult for me to focus, but I did want to enjoy the game, and I've pretty much had to made up my mind that as much as I probably, you know, maybe was out of line or whatever, I can't have that man talking to me like that in front of the other employees.
Well, you hit this guy's wife's rear end. That's the problem that we've got here with your hand. You
turn the TV down. Turn it down, will you? Let me tell you, I'm in a world of hurt because I don't want to fire this man. He's a good man.
Do you want my opinion?
Yeah, I want your opinion.
Not only should you not fire him, you should come clean and say that was entirely my fault. I slapped your wife's ass on purpose because I wasn't drunk. I was actually sober. I'd been drinking near beer, but I just wanted you guys to think that I drank, so you guys will think I'm a regular guy.
And every man, I guarantee you, will quit. They will look upon me as mentally unstable. I mean, there's no way.
All right. I mean, okay. Let's talk about this. I know you're not mentally unstable, but you went through a big rigmarole here just to prove to your guys that you are a regular guy.
Yes, sir, because I want them to be comfortable, to be able to come to my home and feel comfortable.
And yet you slapped one of their wives on the ass.
I did that, and I was pretending to be drunk when I did it. See, it was a decision to make, and I made it, and I've got my reasons for making it. But I don't understand why this man. You told me now, Mr. Henry, that when an individual is drunk, that he is still held accountable, and I don't understand that at all. And,
well, look, Steve, you've told me that you've never drank before in your life.
No, I do not.
And you spent a lot of time in bar rooms?
No, sir.
Okay, so even though you don't drink booze, you haven't spent a lot of time with friends there. I know there's people that don't drink that sometimes will go with friends and drink a Coke.
No, I don't. There's no point in that. I've always enjoyed the outdoors. I go fishing. I go to sporting events. I've spent time since I've been married. I spent it with my family. When I was single, I did other things. You know, there's more. You know, I don't drink because there's alcoholism in my family. Or at least on my mother's side, and so I've been drinking near beer. But I recognize that it's good to pretend that you know how to drink, so that your employees will think that you are a man and you're not a.
So is this some test of manhood?
Yeah. I mean, I.
Well, booze is not a test of manhood.
I'm just telling you, you know, I got a crew of guys that are construction workers, and they're...
Look, I used to work in construction. I mean, you know, there's, you know...
Well, did you drink?
I drank, but it never crossed my mind that someone that didn't drink wasn't much of a man. As a matter of fact, I used to think anybody that didn't drink probably had better control or willpower than me, you know?
Well, I don't want my crew to think of me as something less than 100%, you know, able to take it and dish it out and be right in there. So that's why I, you know, pretended like I was drinking. And
you were pretending you were drinking with this near beer, right?
Yes, sir.
What kind?
It's called O'Doul's.
And you were drinking the O'Doul's all night?
Yes, sir, I was.
Okay. You know that the people that you had there as guests are going to look at that can of O'Doul's, and they're going to know that it's near beer.
Well, I don't see how that.
They're going to look at the can of O'Doul's and they're going to know.
Only if they know that it is.
Well, it's a pretty well-known brand of low-alcohol beer.
Well, that's what I was drinking, and I was getting, and they thought I was drunk. Because I was slapping everybody on the back and acting drunk and being all, you know, doing making those noises.
And then you slapped this guy's wife on the ass.
Yes, sir, I did.
And that's when he got upset. I think the guy realized that you were probably putting it on or something.
No, he didn't. No way. There's no way. There's no way in hell. There's no way in hell. Because I said, man, I'm pretty drunk. And he goes, well, even if you are drunk... You know, so there's no way in hell. And for him to turn around and get up in my face, I was drunk as far as he was concerned, and yet he is up in my face about an accidental slap on his wife's ass.
But it wasn't an accident.
No, it wasn't. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what he saw, what I did, what I wanted him to see, and what I did. And what I wanted him to see was that I was drunk, and that I accidentally slapped his wife's ass.
And what he saw was an intentional slap on his wife's ass by a guy that may or may not be drunk.
No, he knew I was drunk. That's what he thought.
Well, then he still thought it was an intentional slap on his wife's ass.
Why?
Because of the fact that he got angry at you. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. I planned this out for a long time.
Well, I got to tell you something, Steve. You got to be one of the dumbest guys. Well,
excuse me, Mr. Henry, but I haven't called you any names or anything.
No, I know, but you can't keep thinking that somebody figures that you're drunk when you... Everything you're telling me, man, it doesn't sound all that great. You're telling me you're drinking O'Doul's beer. That's a well-known low-alcohol beer. You're saying you're acting drunk. Well, okay. I mean, I don't know what that's supposed to be. You say you're going, ooh, making noises.
Yeah, and the guys are all saying, hey, you know, Mr. Moselle, you're drunk, yeah?
And then you slapped this woman's ass. You still haven't told me why you did that.
That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about, and I don't want to talk about it.
877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445. We're going to be back here. Maybe get Dr. Sadler on the line or somebody. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You talk to him. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Stephen Bozell with us in Corona, and we're talking about the group of people that you had over to your house tonight. People all over the country watching the championship game, Steve. But you've got a situation where you feel you need to fire a man because he was insolent to you tonight after you slapped his wife on the ass, pretending you were drunk to impress these guys.
Hold on for a minute. What'd he do? Well, don't talk like that, son. My son is walking around here talking. Is that for me? Oh, boy. We got a situation here now. My own son thinks he can walk around here.
My goodness.
Is that for me?
No.
My own son's making fun of me by pretending he's a little bit of a hairdresser.
All right, well, let's go to a room or something where you're not going to be bothered.
I'm going to close the door and turn the TV down. Yeah, the whole purpose of the night, and this is why things went a little haywire, Phil, was to bond with my workers.
We got Dr. Sadler?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a Dr. Jim Sadler on the line. He's a psychologist.
I don't feel I need that.
Like you said, the whole purpose of the night was to bond with your workers, and what wound up happening was this. You drank alcohol to pretend, or you drank which you wanted them to think you were getting drunk, even though you were drinking near beer.
Yeah, and I was doing it for them. I wasn't trying to con anybody. I want them to think that I'm man enough to drink with them.
Let's get Dr. Sadler on here, and sorry to interrupt your evening. Jim Sadler with us in San Diego. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm all right, Phil. How are you doing?
Good. I've got a caller on the line here, Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. How old are you, Steve?
I'm 39.
All right.
And this is a man who was having a party tonight at his house, a basketball party, and he wanted to pretend that he was getting drunk with his workers, so he was drinking this near beer. And while pretending that he was drunk, he slapped one of the guy's wives on the ass. This guy got angry at him, and now he feels he needs to fire that man because that man should have understood he was drunk, even though he wasn't.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Hi, Steve. I'm Dr. Jim Sadler. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine.
All right, I'm in a nightclub right now. I don't know if you can hear me, Phil, but my wife and I go dancing.
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
All right. Steve, my name's Dr. Jim Sadler. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'd hate to take you away from your evening.
No. Everything's fine. Okay. I'll get it. Give me a CC and 7, okay? And tell him to put some booze in it this time. Steve?
Yeah, I'm here.
Steve, why did you feel it was necessary for you to pretend you were drunk? Let's talk about that for a moment.
I pretended I'm drunk because I wanted my workers to think that I was man enough to drink with them.
Are you not man enough? Do you feel like you're not man enough?
In a lot of ways, yeah.
I say that again?
In a lot of ways, yeah, I don't feel I'm man enough.
You don't feel you're man enough to drink with them? Thanks, son. You don't feel you're man enough to drink with them?
Yeah, no.
All right. And now, you pretended you were drunk, is that right?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to put that up again. And,
is this bothering you, Dr. Sadler?
Is what?
Just us talking to you.
Oh, I'm fine. They haven't really heated it up here tonight. Well, I take Amber dancing.
Your wife's name is Amber?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't even know the half of it. So, tonight when you were pretending you were drunk, you swung your hand and you hit this woman's ass on purpose.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with how I want to be and how I want to see how all this comes. That's got nothing to do with how it's got nothing to do with how I want you to.
You don't want to talk about it.
What?
You don't want to talk about them?
God, I can't understand.
You don't want to talk about it?
No, I don't. I'm not that part, no.
All right. See, here's the thing. I'm out right now. I'm having dancing with my wife, and she's a lot younger than me. You know, we're about 25 years different.
What did you say?
It's about a 25-year distance.
You know, I can't believe you've got a wife that's 25 years younger than you, and you're at a dance club. And
why is that hard to believe, Steve? Let's go with that. Go with that. Tell me why it's hard to believe.
Because you sound like you have a mouth.
You're noticing my speech pattern then?
Your speech pattern, yeah.
No, not my speech pattern. My speech pattern.
Speech pattern.
Your speech impediment, Dr. Sadler.
Oh, yeah, I do. I noticed you got a bad. You can tell it sounds bad, real bad. It sounds like somebody is cut your tongue off or something.
I did. I lost part of my tongue in a bone pepper bath. But that doesn't mean that I can't help you. I've been a psychologist for years. Yeah. Hold on for a minute. My wife's out on the floor right now. Look at that. Look at that. Hey, you. Hey, who are you? That's my wife. Huh? So,
guys, you got a young wife and everything, and you're out on a dance. She's dancing on the dance floor, huh?
Yeah, she's got on one of these real tight cocktail dresses, you know? And it's pretty high above her knees.
I don't believe it. I mean, how did you score something like that? You sound like somebody. I mean, you sound like someone took some pruning shears to just took pruning shears to your mouth. Just went in there and started going to work on your mouth.
Pretty much when you try a French kiss a lion, that's pretty much what was going to happen. But I learned from my mistakes, and then I thought my psychology practice is burbling.
Your psychology practice is burbling?
It's. But what did you say, Dr. Sadler? Is this, for some reason, we can't hear you.
I'm in a nightclub. God almighty. You can't hear me because I'm in a nightclub. I told you.
And I said to you, are we bothering you?
Not bothering me.
It is hard to hear you, Dr. Sadler.
All right, hold on a minute. Is this DJ Sully Fell? I don't want to listen to that N-word.
Wow!
So it's okay. They like me here. So it's very difficult, Steve, when you want to be a man and you're not miserable enough to be a man, see?
And there you are in a nightclub, and you sound like about 500 shades of gay.
And what? Say that again, very slowly.
I said you sound like 500 different shades of gay in that nightclub. And I can't believe you're with a piece of tail.
Can my wife a piece of tail? Have a little respect.
Why is it your speech impediments just got worse, man, when you went in there?
Because it's difficult for me to speak properly if I can't hear myself.
Yeah, but you should drive to your office.
What'd you say?
Then you ought to try to go to your office and have a psychology session there.
That's where I do have my psychology session, but I'm talking to you right now. Yeah. Hold on for a minute, Steve. My wife. What's up, babe? Yeah, here's $20. Go buy yourself a hat. Get lost for a few minutes. I'm on the phone. No.
You told your wife to get lost? I mean, this is exactly why we're talking to Steve here. You know, his wife, by the way, was laughing at him, calling him some kind of a turd because he got, you know, he was faking being drunk.
Well, I want to get to the whole idea of why you slap a little bit on the butt.
Well, I didn't understand a damn thing you're saying. It's frustrating to me.
I'll interpret. He's wondering why it is you slapped that woman on the butt.
You got to understand that I married my wife.
Hold on a minute. Yeah, hold on. Phil, just hold on. Come here. I want to dance. This is my tune. I want to dance. Woo! Woo!
Get me.
Woo! Woo!
All right.
Woo! Woo!
What you doing?
Hold on for a minute.
Woo!
Yeah, all right. Now, wait, get me. Put my tongue back in my mouth. Hey. Sorry, Phil. That's my birth. That's a song that was made popular the night that Andrew and I consummated on the laser tip.
I can't believe this guy is having a piece of tail. I'm sitting here worried about him.
It is. It does put things in perspective, doesn't it?
You guys talking without me? You're talking over my head?
I'm talking to Steve. He says he can't believe that you are out there having the fun you're having, and he's at home worrying about the stuff he's worried about.
Oh, that's what I mean. So you think I'm some kind of a sissy? You think I'm some sort of a fairy? You think I'm a freeway to fairyland, don't you?
I don't say that at all.
You think I'm a living rocket sled to fairyland?
What?
What'd you say?
I said he thinks I'm a rocket sled to fairyland.
Let me look this up. Hold on. I've got a book here. It translates speech impediment. A rocket sled to fairyland. Is that what you said?
That's huh?
All right.
Will you guys get out of here with this? Go back to your dancing, and I'll talk to Steve myself, okay?
No, I'm Miss Henry.
Go back to your dancing. I'll talk to him myself. Goodbye. 877-876-PHIL. Would you get rid of that guy? God. Steve, you there?
I'm barely here.
What happened to you?
My self-esteem's been destroyed.
Well, Dr. Sadler is a very unusual psychologist, no question about it, okay? We've had him on the show before. He's a weightlifter. Apparently, he's ripped. He's probably got a lot of money.
Yeah, but I mean, that guy sounds...
Is that, Steve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What happened to your voice?
I told you my self-esteem.
Your self-esteem? I'm telling you is that's a very unusual man whose words you should not take all that seriously.
But why did you call him?
I'm sorry?
Why did you call him?
We called him up because he's a psychologist that's on the show a lot. Look, let's take a break. I think you need some water or something, okay? Steve?
Okay.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Stephen Bozell, who's had a hell of a night, man. This guy's gone from pretending he was drunk to slapping a guy's wife's ass to having to almost fire the guy to talking to Dr. Sadler, who's out there, you know, he's lighting up the night with his 22-year-old wife. And the guy's got a speech impediment that makes it sound like he's missing his entire tongue. And you know that ain't good. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445.
The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, wrap it up, Edward.
Phil Henry Show.
You didn't, did you?
Sure did.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell with us. We did have Dr. Jim Sadler, and I think you really need to understand that Dr. Sadler is a guy who is an unusual doctor in that you're right. He does have a very pronounced speech impediment, and people notice it. And it's difficult to talk to him.
Well, I mean, you can't ignore the fact that he's out with a...
And his wife's younger than him and all that stuff. I don't know. I mean, there's no accounting for taste. I don't think it necessarily is a comment on you. The bigger thing to talk about with you, Steve, is the fact that you were somehow putting on an act tonight that was not bought hook, line, and sinker by a worker, and now you want to fire the guy because he didn't respect you. I think you need to have a little bit more... respect for him. Let's get Father James McQuarters on here. Father McQuarters is a Catholic priest. I know you're not Catholic, Steve, and I understand that, but we take as many different points of view as we possibly can on this show and see what we can do with them. But Father McQuarters, how are you tonight?
Phil, I'm doing fine. I want to say good evening to you, Stephen. I've been listening to your problem this evening, and I hope that I can help you.
Thank you, sir. I'm not. I was raised a Southern Baptist.
No, I'm aware of that.
But I thank you very much.
Well, you know, Steve, I can tell you that there are times in our lives when we've lived a life and we've given up to our wives, we've given to our children, and we've even given to our community and to our work, and you don't feel as if there's nothing left, and you'd like to have a little something left for yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
And I think, baby, tonight was one of those nights when you saw a pretty girl walk by, and you say you've got two children, right?
Yes, Father, I do.
And I know that your wife, she gave birth to these two children. Is that correct?
Yeah, my wife, April, gave birth to Stephen Jr. and April Jr. April Jr. come first, Stephen Jr. I'm sorry. April Jr. come first, and Stephen Jr. came second.
Hey, well, take it easy now. I know that your self-esteem was hampering you a bit there, but you're doing better, okay? You just listen to me, all right?
Okay, brother, thank you.
Stephen, remember something. That when a woman gives birth to children, many times her body suffers at the expense of that of nature. What nature demands of a woman's body, sometimes it can never bring back.
That's the way I felt when I seen April, when I first met her, you know.
She looked good, didn't she?
Yeah.
Buy your coffee, all right?
You okay, Steve?
I took a slam. I slammed back another O'Doul's.
Oh, you're really setting fire to the night, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Slam back another O'Doul's, huh?
See, that's what I mean. You guys are making fun of me.
Let's make fun of you now. So your wife's body, it didn't quite come back after she had the babies. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And now she walks around the house with a big rear end.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so tonight, come into your home, the wife of this friend of yours, this young lady, with a nice, round, tight rear end, and all you could think about was how your wife's ass got out of hand.
Yeah, my wife's ass has gotten completely out of... My wife's ass is way out of line. No question.
And so what did you do? You had yourself an O'Doul's. You took a look at that nice rear end. You went ahead and you backhanded a little bit, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
It's okay. You can admit it.
Yes, Father, I did.
And maybe you gave it a squeeze, too, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, you know something? It's nothing unusual to do something like that. Hold on for a minute. Man of the quarter. What? Now, you tell that piece of crap that if he's not downstairs with that money in a half an hour...
Father.
Hold on, Phil. What? Eddie, you tell that piece of garbage if he's not downstairs with that money in a half an hour, I'm going to come find him. And he's going to wish he showed up with that money. Because what I'm going to take out of him is going to be a lot more than money. I'm going to get some payback, okay? And there's a full moon tonight. Hold on. Just listen to me. There's a full moon tonight, and I'm feeling pretty frisky. And he's looking pretty good to me. Now, either I get $50 from him, or I'm going to be calling him Mary. You tell him that for me. You tell him that for me. All right, Steve?
Wait a second, man. What was that about?
That scared the hell out of me when I just heard.
What are you talking about?
What was that I just heard on the phone?
What?
You tell him to be downstairs with the $50.
Oh, that's nothing. No, hold on for a minute. No, I'm just talking. Look, we had... I love you guys. No, we had a card game. No, that's nothing at all. Nothing to be... I would never say anything like that to you, Steve.
That scared me pretty bad.
Oh, buck up. Butch up, will you? Butch up. I'm telling you, you had every right in the world to slap the girl's ass. You see a pretty girl, you want to slap her ass.
That's a hell of a piece of advice to give him, Father. And what I heard in that phone conversation sounded very scary.
Phone conversation.
Oh, you're talking about, I'll take it, I want my $50 one way or another. I'm going to be calling him Mary. There's a full moon out tonight.
I heard that too.
No. Don't worry about it. Just put it out of your mind, okay? I'd really appreciate it, in fact, if you really would put it out of your mind. Hey, that's the part. Who's that?
That's Mr. Bozell.
What's wrong with you, Steve? With my self-esteem. Your self-esteem? My nerves. Your nerves? You're nothing but a GD coward.
All right. Thanks a lot, Father.
See, the thing that I was...
Steve, you got a psychological problem that obviously Father McQuarters wasn't able to help with, and neither was Dr. Sadler. Now, on the one hand, you got Dr. Sadler, who is probably snorting coke right about now, dancing with his young girlfriend and doesn't care a thing about you. On the other, you have Father McQuarters, who does care about you, but he has a criminal mind. He has the mind of a sexual assaulter, as well as a thief. So that's not going to help.
I know.
And now your self-esteem is so rotten that your voice is squeaking.
Yeah, that's what I get for talking to you.
Hold on, and we'll give you the suicide hotline, okay?
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for, David.
877-876
suicide hotline.
Sorry, I mean it's the only thing I can think of now. 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, is this the suicide hotline?
No, it's not.
Oh.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, my name is Steve Bozell. Yeah, anyway, here's the deal.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our news and information hour come up. Bauer, I know I'm talking a little fast. We've got a lot of stuff to get to tonight. One of the things that I want to mention to you, wasn't too long ago I said to you, stay tuned for a new way to listen to the Phil Hendry Show. Well, I bet you thought I forgot about that. No, I didn't. That day is fast approaching. As a matter of fact, this week, we're going to unveil philhendryradio.com. So I want you to be on the lookout for that. And I can tell you that it's going to be unveiled very, very shortly. Our number here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We are online at philhendryshow.com. That is the online home and headquarters of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And with a backstage pass, you can watch live video of our show right now. It's Phil TV in HD. It's a gorgeous picture with the roiling Pacific, El Pacifico surf behind me. And we also have our thousands of hours of archived audio. We've got our news feed. We've got our daily podcast. We've got our classic Phil podcast. We have just all kinds of other fun little gizmos and things that are happening over there. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. It's the best, absolutely, without question, hands down, the single best buy in terms of a subscription on the Internet. I don't care what anybody tells you. It is absolutely the single best. Unless, of course, you want to throw your subscription money away on some radio show that gives you 2-minute clips here and a couple of minutes of clips over there and some stupid, firewall for a newspaper that, hey, let's pay for news that we can read tomorrow for free. All right, 877-876-7445. Lloyd Bonafide is going to join us here. Lloyd is a Korean War veteran. He is... a long-time retired professional man, had a heating and plumbing service for the longest time out in Alhambra, California. He's joining us on our Newsmaker line here this evening to talk about a little 7-year-old boy, your grandson. Today was his birthday, huh, Lloyd?
And that is exactly right, Phil. If you can hear me.
I can hear you fine, Lloyd. How old was... what is your grandson's name?
Yes, sir. My grandson is Ted, and he turned 7 today.
What did you give him for his birthday?
I gave my grandson, I gave him a basketball, and his grandmother and his mother and I, we all went in, we got him some clothes, but I know you're asking me about what I got him.
And yes, I am, sir.
I got my grandson a .22 caliber a handgun, a Smith & Wesson .22 caliber handgun, and I've gotten him signed up for the gun safety classes over here at the Corral, which is a shooting range over here. And I can tell you something else, too. You asked me before we went on the air that his mother was not happy with me, and neither is his grandmother.
And what about his father?
this guy that my daughter married, you know, I don't know what his opinion is, but I can imagine that I don't have a very high opinion of him, so.
What would you imagine his opinion is?
Well, I haven't heard from him. So I will tell you that he's, I know he's probably scared of me, but, or something, you know, maybe he agrees with it. But I don't care. It's my grandson. And I'll tell you this too, Mr. Henry. We're living in a day and age now where gun safety and gun training can't come too early. Now that is the absolute truth. And I want to ask you right now, sir, what do you think about it, about me doing that?
I don't know what to think of it. I don't want to give an opinion, and I'll tell you why.
No, you don't get it. What do you think about me giving my grandson a 22 handgun?
I will tell you this, that the mother's opinion is should come first.
You're talking about my daughter.
Yeah, your daughter, his mother, her opinion is that he shouldn't have that gun.
That's right. That's right. That's why we're keeping it here. And when he comes to visit, well, guess what? Grandpa and he are going to be out over at the corral with the gun safety. And once he gets proficient enough, we've got targets out here in the backyard.
And well, what if they stop letting him come over to the house?
They're not going to do that because we... You don't know my daughter and this guy she married. We are basically the only babysitters they've got. Because they're always going someplace or doing something. And if they don't let him come over and visit us, then that can mean only one thing, that they're going to be staying home more, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, here's the point. You got this child a gun, and you got him signed up for gun safety, and he's over with you guys this weekend, right?
He's good. He was with us for the entire week because his mother's taking a training course, a nursing course in New Mexico. And the guy that my daughter married, the father, is in Nevada. He's on a job. He builds mining equipment, and they've gotten a contract over there.
All right, so they're both out of town, and so they've got this little boy with you. And you now have this child, and they know that you have this gun that you bought him.
That you better believe it. You better believe it. Let me tell you what's going on, just so you know. This world that we live in is becoming a madhouse. And the sooner we get these young people trained to utilize and brandish a weapon properly, and one of the ways that you make this, you can make it fun for the kids, is you teach them those tricks that they see, but you got to get them ready.
And do you really think there's going to be 7-year-old kids with guns out there?
I'm telling you, if I have my way, the kids will know how to use a gun, yes, sir.
And no, but I'm talking about, do you really think the kids will be out there in the world at the age of 7 or 8 holding a pistol in their hand?
If they know gun safety, that may be the only thing, mister, standing between you and your grave is a well-trained 8-year-old boy. And let me tell you something.
I can't even imagine a world like that.
We're living in that world, mister. We're living in it right now. And let me tell you something else. You know, this has been a very tough day for me, looking at all the news. But the kids are going to want to learn the fun things about a gun. And you make it fun for them. And I mentioned you can teach them the tricks where they spin the gun around like the old the Wild West did. You can teach them how to spin it up near their ear, and they become, it's fun for them, you know. And
do we need to make it fun for this? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, the gun is a deadly thing. Do you really have to make things more fun for the kid?
Well, what it does is it convinces the adults that you know, this is not just a gun. It's something that the child can learn to use as a form of entertainment if you want. I'm not talking about a loaded gun now, but you can go out onto the football field at halftime, as I did when I was a young boy growing up. And I remember I was part of Ringtail Bob. If you remember Ringtail Goose and Bob, and their six shooters. And it was a bunch of us. We were 10 years old at the time, and we came out wearing the big fur chaps and big 10-gallon hats. And we did it at halftime shows, and we twirled the guns, and we did it to the what was the song? I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande. I'm an old cowhand. I'm on the Rio Grande. And you spin the gun. And
you guys did this at halftime at football shows.
Football shows?
I mean, you did it at a halftime show at a football game?
Yeah, that's what we did. We'd come out. I don't know what you meant by a football show.
The halftime show is what I meant.
Yeah, we went out, and they had this song playing, I'm an old cowhand on the Rio Grande, and we came out wearing the big fur chaps and the oversized 10-gallon hat, and we spun the gun. And it was a lot of fun, and it also taught us gun safety. And let me tell you, there were times in Korea when my mind, and I don't know how we made it out, there were times when I thought I'd breathe my last. And I wouldn't make it back to the States or to my wife or to anybody. And all I could think about was standing on that football field with that big hat on. And the song, I'm an old cowhand, and I'm on the Rio Grande. And I've got a giant hat. And when I felt myself in the giant hat, boy, a lot of Chinese died. And I know I'm getting emotional.
Well. All right. I'm going to take a break here, okay?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd Bonafide with us here, who's given his 8-year-old son a 22 for his birthday. 877-876-PHIL. I mean, how young is too young? A 22 pistol for his birthday. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And by the way, folks, I am not a gun control nut. I believe in the right to bear arms. I believe in the use of guns as a defensive weapon. I believe in all of it. Believe me when I tell you. But how young is too young when it comes to giving a gift of a gun to a child? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have Lloyd Bonafide on the line with us. He's a Korean War veteran, owner of the, at one time owner of one of the biggest heating and plumbing businesses in Alhambra, California. But we're talking tonight more along the lines of family and especially kids, and we're talking guns. And there's a reason, obviously, what with, shall we say, recent events. Lloyd, is that what got you thinking about this?
Well, let me tell you, I got to thinking about this. I got to thinking about this, Phil, a lot longer before than... See, I don't have to... I don't need a news event to wake me up. I'm very familiar, having been in a war, as I was in Korea, I'm very familiar with the necessity of firearms in private life to protect the home. So I didn't have to have any news story to wake me up. I've got a grandson that I love very much. I've got a daughter that I love very much. My wife, and this is our family, and I would hate like hell, and I would feel guilty until the day I died if something happened to my grandson, and I knew that I could have put a training and a weapon in his hand. If that young man had been trained, I would have been able to do that. So I gave him that gun.
Now, what are you going to say to people who are gun advocates, who think that the ownership of guns should be protected? I mean, I recognize there's a lot of so-called gun control people. I don't think they even know what it is they're talking about.
Well, you said said that right. They don't know what they're talking about.
All right, but I mean, that, let's just leave that aside for a moment. What do you say to people who say that the kid is too young and that the kid is, this is going to be dangerous?
No, you're never too young to learn to operate a weapon safely. And I get a little tired of people saying that you got to, you know, that it's too unsafe and this and that. I can train that boy in the backyard. Hold on for a minute. Come here for a minute. Chad, come here. You know, let me tell you something else, Phil. Chad, come here, son. I'm going to take you. I've got a target set up in the backyard here, Phil. Now let's go outside. And I want to mention something to you, Phil, if I could, because it's a very important piece of information here. My grandson, who I love very much, was named by, and this is one of the reasons why I've always had a problem with his mother and particularly the guy that my daughter married, because they gave him a name that I just think is the, if ever there was a name that, boy, I can't believe I'm getting emotional about it. If ever there was a name that tipped a young man off as, if I can use the word, as a douchebag, this is the name that they put on my son. And it so upsets me. All right.
What name?
Chad. I told you his name is Chad. Come on, Chad.
And you think that's the name of a douchebag?
That, yes, sir, I do. All right, we've got a little bit of we've got a swollen stream here tonight, Phil. You can hear it running next to the range here. Come here, son.
Now, what are you going to do?
Well, first of all, let me explain. I'm going to do something that you don't have any business directing, Mr. Henry. We're going to do a little target practice. All right, you see over there?
Mm-hmm.
And that is your target. Put it down! Put it down!
Okay, I heard more than one shot.
Yep. What are you doing?
I didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know. You better believe you didn't know. Yep. God almighty, you don't fire it more than once.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yes, you know, because Grandpa taught you how. Damn!
You're going to get somebody killed out there.
What's that?
You're going to get somebody killed.
Oh, shut up.
Don't tell me to shut up. I got you on the air right now.
Hold on. Chad, your mother gave you the name. Chad, you know that you have the name of a douchebag, don't you? Grandpa's going to fix that, but you can't kill Grandpa before you... All right.
Well, that's a heck of a way to talk to a kid, man.
Hey, why don't you shut up, okay, talk show host? Let me do my business here. All right, there's the target. See? Downrange. You see, you got it locked on?
I think so.
Well, don't think. You see it? Here, let me go out and... Oh, come on! What are you doing? Don't fire when I'm going to walk in front of you.
Boy, you got some gun safety going there, don't you?
Hold your horses. What are you doing, Chad?
I think you're going to need...
You don't fire the gun when Grandpa was walking down range to straighten the target.
Yeah, okay.
Jeez. You want to kill me? Is that what you're trying to do? Kill me.
Oh, Grandpa.
So that's some real good gun safety there, Lloyd.
Ease it back, will you?
And by the way, making the kid feel even better about himself by saying he's got the name of a douchebag.
Oh, Phil, everybody knows that the name Chad is the all-time champion douchebag name. So don't start in with me on that. Don't even go, you know, I'm very clear. I'm locked in on that one.
Oh, good.
All right, now, here we go, Chad. Remember to, you see? Now, when you put your finger on the clutch, don't do it yet!
What?
This kid is firing.
Hold on for a minute. Don't quit talking, will you? You know, Chad, don't do that until Grandpa takes his hand off of the thing. Hey, how you doing? Oh, why don't you mind your own business?
That's the side of my garage.
What's that?
I said that's the side of my garage.
So I got the side of your garage. So what? It needs a paint job anyway.
So you're going to have to fight it, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Boy, you're going to have the cops there in a minute. You know that?
Oh, why don't you just listen and learn, okay?
I'm going to call myself.
Yeah, now you gave the guy an idea. You go ahead and call the cops, Raleigh.
What?
You go ahead and call the cops. I don't care. All right, Chad. Let's go out with a bang, okay? Now, you see down there? You see what? No, God! You think that's funny, huh?
That kid is not listening to you. Get that gun out of his hands.
Down here in the garage!
Yeah, that's right. Paint your garage, and then it won't give...
Oh, my name?
Yeah, that be...
You got a neighbor that's upset with you, and you got a kid that's firing a gun way too many times here, and it doesn't sound to me like you got any kind of a control over this. What are you doing, man?
What are you doing? No, that's not the... What do you want?
I'm going to take a break.
You take your break there, talk show host. Hey, Raleigh.
You know, you're a very smart-ass guy, Lloyd. You know that?
Oh, yeah, well, you know. Hey, Raleigh, you paint that garage... It won't look any... Right there, it looks like a barn. Why do you think I'm shooting at it?
You look great,
man. I'm not painting for anything. Here, dance. Yeah.
I'm calling the cops.
No, you're not.
877-877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Go ahead, dance for me. Yeah.
Phil Hendry.
We're back here with Lloyd Bonafide, and we're talking here about gun safety, and I just heard an example of gun safety that is not an example at all, Lloyd, and you know as well as I do that what I heard there is it would get you arrested, and you're very, very lucky there's no police out there tonight.
Well, I thought you were going to call the police. That's what you were saying.
I should have. Multiple shots? You got a neighbor? You're putting bullets into this guy's garage?
That is where I'm teaching that boy, my grandson, my only grandson. After that child, I don't have anybody else. My daughter, this guy she married, and my grandson. That's it. And you understand what that means to a man when he's lived his life? I've been to war. I got married. I had a daughter. I raised her the best way I could, built a business. And now, you know, here comes my boy, my grandson, and I have to swallow the bitter pill. That child is named, and you know that his grandmother and I, we raced to the hospital because I knew what she was going to do. And I raced to the hospital, and I begged her, I said, and she said, the deed is done, as she laid there in bed. And, you know, I should have more mercy on my son-in-law. I call him the man that my daughter married, but you were talking to a guy last hour about how big the rear end gets. My son-in-law, the guy my daughter married, the poor man, he suffers with it every day.
And suffers with what?
Three guesses. You were talking last...
Oh, what a childish thing to say. What a childish thing to say about your own daughter.
I love my daughter very much. But as she lay there, and I knew as she lay there, with every second that she lay there, her ass was getting bigger, and I knew what that man that she married was going to have to deal with. I said, will you give me at least one thing? She's laying there, understand? laying there waiting for her ass to get bigger, and I said, just give me, your father, one thing I can take to my grave. A grandson with a name like a man, you know, a man's name. God.
I can't believe you get twisted up thinking about stuff like that. You just had the kid in the backyard with a gun going off.
He was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. That guy, Raleigh, I've known that guy as long as I've been in this neighborhood. We're the two oldest guys on the street, and all he knows how to do is come out of his house at night and yell at people. He goes out at night yelling at people. There's no one there. And the only other guy on the street that was as old as us was Carruthers, and you know what happened to him.
That's the guy that committed suicide.
You better believe it.
Yeah, and I know why he did, too.
Hey. You watch that.
I know why that man killed himself. So you watch it.
Mr. Henry, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't say anything to my son, not my grandson.
You know, that's between you and your family, so just you watch the way you talk to me.
All I'm trying to tell you is that I raced to the hospital the morning that sweet boy was born, and I begged my daughter, I said, don't name him Chad. You name him Chad, and you've given him a douchebag's name. I told her that. I said it straight up. I looked her in the eye, and she said, the deed is done. She showed me the hospital registration card, and then she collapsed into a snoring nap. And I mean, she rolled over and she started with that big rear end, started cutting logs. You hadn't heard it. It was like a freight train going south. And I stood there. I stood there in that hotel, in that hospital room, I mean, with the guys she married staring at me like he was about 600 yards of stupid. And I looked between him and the card and my snoring big-ass daughter, and I saw the name on the card, Chad. Chad Plimpton.
I never did know your daughter's married name. That's her name?
Yeah, Plimpton. You ready for that? She's married to a guy named Paul. My daughter's name is Patricia. We call her Patty. I said, the least you can do is have the decency is not name my grandson that starts with a P. And she goes, don't worry about it. I gave him the name Chad.
Paul Plimpton and Patty Plimpton.
Yeah. Go ahead and laugh it up, buddy man.
Sorry, I mean...
Hey! You know, I've got to live with that every day of my life. I've got to get out of bed and look at a grandson and say, hi, Chad.
Where did you ever get the idea that the name Chad was a douchebag's name?
Oh, are you kidding? Where you been? Where have you been?
I don't know. What do I know, man?
You look up douchebag, and there's a guy named Chad next to, I don't know. It stands to reason, don't it?
No, it does not stand to reason. I don't have any idea where you get these. You know, it's kind of like saying the name Todd belongs to gay guys. I guess we don't have much to, you know, keep us occupied these days. We come up with these stupid things. I will just tell you this much, Lloyd. Whether the child's name is Chad or whether or not your son-in-law is an idiot or your daughter's ass is too big, or I don't know. But having that boy standing out back tonight with you and those rounds going off, it sounded like they were going off every which direction, into the ground, up in the air, into this guy's garage.
You leave my grandson to me. And
yeah, that's fine, okay? And, you know, this world has been built on the graves of some people and their children who thought they knew best.
Well, what are you trying to say? Come on, I'm a war veteran. I've been around weapons.
That doesn't sound like it to me, the way you had that kid out there tonight. And I'm hearing these guns. What do you mean you're firing into some guy's garage?
That guy, Ray, that guy would be unhappy if I wasn't putting bullet holes in his house. He'd be miserable if somebody wasn't shooting at him. Him and Steelworth, the only two guys on the block that ever were in WW2, and they both lorded over me like they're big shots.
I don't know anything about it. I don't know the intrigues that go on in your neighborhood, okay?
Well, you know, well...
Yeah, except for Carruthers, I know that.
I'm begging you not to say anything to the boy.
I won't say anything. I'm just telling you, you have to be very careful. And as far as arming kids, I don't know, man. I don't think that's the answer.
Oh, yeah, man? Okay, man. like wow, Daddy-O.
And I'm not talking beatnik talk. Boy, Lloyd, get into the 21st century or just, you know.
Oh, what? Go ahead and tie off my air hose? Yeah. Go ahead and unplug the machine. I don't want to be talked to like I'm a beatnik. I've told you that.
I'm not talking. I'm just telling you, if you'll listen to me, that I believe that's an irresponsible way to teach a kid weapon safety, and I think he needs to be older. That's just my opinion. I know you don't think much of that. And I know that it's more important for me to hear you about the kid having a douchebag's name and your friend Raleigh and Carruthers was asking for it and your daughter's ass is too big and your son-in-law is about 600 yards of stupid, even though you do empathize with him when it comes to your daughter's big ass.
Well, you just about covered it all. Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much, Lloyd. Good luck to you.
Well, no, wait a second. You said that I was going to get the whole hour.
Well, I'm all done with you, man. I don't need to stay on the line and wait for you to kill yourself or your son with that gun.
How dare you?
Okay, that...
You're going to call back and give me a rash or a crap.
Well, that's tough, because I don't want him on the air again. If you see him calling... You know what line he's calling on, man. Don't answer the line.
What do you mean what line he's calling in on, man? A whole different kind of line.
Don't you know what line he's calling in on?
No, I don't know what line he's calling. You can call the juice maker line. Come on, I'm going to touch him.
Oh, shoot. All right. Well, then you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm sorry. So there's Lloyd Bonafide and the story of his 7-year-old son learning gun safety. Sounded pretty safe to me. World famous Phil Hendry Show here. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video of the show as well as the archives. We're going to come back with our news and information and news and information hour and other stuff, other news, other big news, other small news, other little news, other big news. It's a weird, wacky, ugly world today. We'll talk about it on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I'm not
going to
call your sick of
Phil Hendry Show.
Call you back. I got better things to do.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now on the Phil Hendry Show, Iron Swine.
Hey, Iron Swine. And we're, by the way, we have special effects on this one today.
Yeah, we have all the special effects.
Yeah, I got it. Today on Iron Swine, Iron Swine goes to visit the man his wife hired her idiot brother to fool with the brakes. He's going to go and tell the guy.
Yeah, hello. This is the Iron Swine office.
Yeah, hey. Hey, I'm on the phone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and my wife got her brother. He's under the car, and he's got the mind of a 5-year-old.
Yeah, that sounds like a job for Iron Swine.
Oh, thank God. Thank God you're going to send Iron Swine.
So we send Iron Swine over this guy. Now I'll be the guy.
Yes, this is Iron Swine.
Yeah, I come out here to my Jaguar. And my wife's brother's under there fooling around.
Get out of here! Yeah!
Duh!
Get out of here, you dumbass!
Duh! Thank God, Iron Swine. I didn't think...
You can fool him.
Oh, are you back at the office?
Yeah.
Thank God, Iron Swine. You got rid of that dumbass.
Yeah, Dad. All I did was use my coat to shoo him away.
Thank God for Iron Swine. Even when he only used a coat to shoo away a dumbass.
Iron Swine. God. What?
I don't know what to say. It's just they get better and better. Thank you. You're welcome. Robert's aunt, Mavis Leonard, on the line with us. Mavis, dear, the reason why we called you is because Robert had been talking to us, hon, about the shows you're watching. Okay, is she... Hey, Audie.
I'm on right now, Tina. So, Helen Mirren. So,
okay, dear, we didn't have you on the air. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, I heard my nephew yelling at me. You don't have to yell at me, Robert.
I know. Well, Miss Leonard, I want to know you there.
I'm here. Does it sound like I'm someplace else? I'm here.
No, I don't laugh.
Don't yell, fool. You yell, it's going right through my skull.
Yeah, okay, Miss Leonard, just want to know.
Oh man, you yell, that's piercing my skull. Oh, it goes through the skull.
All right, well, this is Phil.
Yes, Bill. How you doing?
I'm good, Mavis. What show are you watching now?
I'm looking at my... I've got my DVD.
Okay, it's a DVD.
What DVD? What?
Oh, man. Oh, baby, that goes through the skull. Every time you open your mouth, you remind me of your father. That big la-la-la-la-la-la-la. My brother, you know, was this man, Robert's father. You know, he died, had a heart attack, and then come back. Man had a big business, you know.
My dad died of a heart attack.
I was telling Mr. Henry that. You don't have to repeat it.
I'm sorry to hear that. What happened?
He had a business over here, had a machine shop, you know, and he did all kinds of work over there. He did die of a heart attack one day. I always tell people it's because they sent Robert over to give him lunch, and he finally took one good long look at what this kid was turning out to be and just went, oh, Lord, you know, fell over.
That's mean, you said, because I got a big head.
You got the biggest head of any man I've ever seen in my life. It's three times the size of your father's head. Abnormally large.
No, I don't see that. I mean, Robert's right in front of me.
No, his head is abnormally large. That's why, anyway, I tell him that every time he go to sleep on the couch, you know, he fall off the couch. But only his head does. The rest of him stays on the couch.
Yeah, well, that's better than the last time you said all these people come over and spend the night at your house.
All these people come over spend the night at my house. Just people at my bridge party.
But they're falling off the couch.
They fall, a whole body fall off the couch, not just the head.
Okay, can we just, I don't know.
That's the weirdest thing I ever heard.
Is that idiot?
Yes, ma'am, it's Bud.
You are. You strictly from hunger, son. Oh, man.
His head ain't that big.
No, his head ain't big, but his head's bent. You got a big head, and he got a head that's caved in.
Okay, I wanted to ask you...
You don't have to yell like Robert, you know, the two of you guys. You go, okay, it goes through my skull like lightning. It's like a bolt of lightning going through my skull every time I hear you or Robert say something.
What are you talking about, Alan?
Oh!
I'm sorry, is this better?
Yeah, it's a lot better.
What are you watching right now?
I told you, I'm looking at my DVD.
You're looking at a DVD of what?
Are you listening to him looking at a DVD of what? Or looking at a DVD of TV show?
What's the name of the TV show?
Oh.
Yeah, what? I'm on TV.
Oh. Ow.
Shut up, Robert. I'll do it, okay? What's the TV show?
Oh. I'm going to start bleeding from the nose. I got to listen to that boy again. He's going to come over here. I know you're spending the night here, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am.
Oh, damn. Now I got to get out to Esther Divan and make sure your head don't fall off the couch.
What is the DVD you're watching?
I'm watching a DVD of Prime Suspect with a Helen Mirren. I love this show so deeply.
Yeah, we're like all them PBS show, a BBC show, too.
I'm telling a man about that.
Oh, you like that show, Helen Mirren? Prime Suspect, huh?
Oh, yeah, I love that show. I look at that show. And I also look at that show, Downtown Abbey. I like that show, too.
Now, what is that show about?
Oh, it's a wonderful show about all these white people. Sticking each other in the back, you know. I love that. They're all very wealthy whites, and all they do is shank each other in the back every episode. It's a beautiful thing. I like that show, and then I watch Cat House, and then I go to sleep.
What is Cat House?
That one on Cinemax.
Yeah, that's a show on Cinemax about a man on a cat house.
Is that right? I've never heard of that show.
Oh, yeah, it's a good show. This is a real dumbass. He's going to get himself arrested, I know that. Every week I look at that show, Cat House, waiting for this guy to get arrested. You got a whorehouse over there, you know. It's funny. It's very relaxing to watch that.
So those are your favorite shows. Well, we wanted to ask you that because we were talking about these shows tonight. Have you ever seen The Two Doors?
No, that's that show Robert watched. That's a stupid-ass show if ever I've seen one. It got that one man I think is a latent homosexual.
You talk about Maurice Davies.
Oh, will you shut up, please?
Is he talking? He's talking about Martin. What's the guy's name? Reese Davies or something like that?
I don't know what his name is. He's the one to play King Henry.
Right, I think that's the guy.
That's the most homosexual show I've ever seen. I will not allow myself to see that. I will not allow myself as a Christian. I'll not look at that show.
That's the Two Doors show, though.
I don't care what it calls. It doesn't make any difference to me. Now, that's what you call a cabinet or someplace you hang your clothes, Two Door. Or something like that.
I said it sounded like it's four-door.
Tell that kid with a caved-in head to shut up.
You gotta shut up, man. My audience can't take it.
I can't take you either.
All right, okay, so you're watching The Two Doors. Anything else?
I watch the Tudors, and I watch that. I don't know. No, I don't watch the Tudors.
I mean, you're watching Prime Suspect. You watch Downton Abbey. What else?
I watch. I like to see that show they have on EastEnders.
Yeah, the EastEnders. That's an old show. Is that one of the old British shows?
Yeah, I love that show. All them Cockney people, they sound like a bunch of dumbass. I love them. I like any show where they all sound like dumbasses. But I love the EastEnders because they sound almost as dumb as my nephew. Talking all that mess, you know?
Yeah, they all talking like things like, hey, how's it like we go get a spot of tea like that?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, say I'll go get a spot of tea. Oh, say I'm going to go have myself some, here's what he says. Say I'm going to have some bangers and mash, eh? It sounds like that Adele bitch. You ever heard her?
All right, let's not call anybody a bitch.
I'm sorry. Have you ever heard Adele?
Yes, I have.
Did you hear that woman on a Grammy show?
I did, yeah.
Oh, Lord. She sounds like she ought to be pushing a cart down the street someplace over there. That old blimey. Blimey, I want me a Grammy.
Hey, I want a Grammy. I want a pot of tea.
The hell is wrong with you?
I'm just doing an Adele impression.
I do the Adele impression. You don't do no Adele impression. I do them all. I got Adele covered here. I'm going to do it for going to have our church social on Sunday, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Adele?
What's that mean?
I mean, are you going to do an impression of her?
Yeah, I'm going to do an impression. I get up, I'll say, I want some bangers and mash. I put on my a big white ass, right, you know, because she got a big ass.
All right, well, have fun watching television. We just wanted to check in.
Hey, I'll be home right after show.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Ha, ha, ha. Good night, Ms. Leonard.
Get your head fixed, son.
Get my hair fixed?
Your head. God, oh, man.
I think we woke her up or something.
No. She's only waiting, walking on the TV. And she got a DVD player and everything. That's why she's walking on the DVD.
She's watching her DVDs. Does she even know what it is she's watching?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes she don't, though.
She just puts those DVDs in and lets it go, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of old people are like that.
Well, all right. Well, thank your aunt when you see her again for the TV review. I really appreciate that.
Excuse me, I almost threw up. Yeah, I tasted some throw-up, too.
Well, that's really nice to know. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, 30. So we're seeing a 27-foot drop.
So we just wanted to ask you...
Excuse me, this is a senator-only elevator.
I'm not satisfied. The solution that he found...
You know how many people like guns and dip?
You blew it!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we take you on an Alice in Wonderland trip through the old looking glass, baby. Media, news, issues, the way you think of things, the way you don't think of things. Shutter Island is number one at the box office again. Woo! I guess. Plus, Pelosi says the health care bill is bipartisan, even though the Republicans won't vote for it, or didn't vote for it, or wouldn't vote for it, or will never, ever, ever vote for it. They had a big impact on it nonetheless. So in her mind, and probably it's not a bad estimation, good for you, Nancy, that it is bipartisan to a degree. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have a story here that we're going to tell you a little bit about. We're also going to be talking with a man who has run up against the same thing in taking photographs in local public places, particularly in malls. His name is Art Griego. He's going to join us. He's a retired airline pilot. But in Sunderland, England, bizarre story, a father was told he was not allowed to take pictures of his four-year-old son. This is his own four-year-old son. And he was told, you are not allowed to take pictures of this child at this Sunderland shopping center because of fears he could be a pedophile. All right, now, it's your kid, right? Nonetheless, Kevin Schuen, who lives in Kent, was challenged by a security guard at the Bridges Shopping Center after photographing his son, Ben, on a child's train ride. He was asked if he could prove Ben was his son, and he was later quizzed by a police officer who was called to the center. Now, bosses at the shopping center have apologized to this man for the misunderstanding, but nonetheless, it was quite a, I'm sure, a bizarre and traumatic incident for the father. Mr. Schuen, he's 48 years of age, said he and his son had visited the shopping center after Ben was given money from his grandfather to buy a toy. His wife had suggested taking a picture of the son on the mobile phone camera after the train-obsessed youngster boarded the ride. The security guard then approached and told him it was against the center's policy. It was against the center's policy, and he could be a pedophile. It was the father. Mr. Schuen said that then the security guard said there was no way of, he said there was no way that I could prove that what I was doing was innocent because I couldn't actually prove that I was his father. I told him Ben was my own son and that he was blowing everything out of proportion. 5 or 10 minutes later, a police officer approached, asked for my name and address. I raised my voice as I was getting a little annoyed by this stage, and he threatened to arrest me for a breach of the peace, as they say in jolly old England. I could have understood if I'd been observed hanging about, but I had walked up with my wife and with my son. In a statement, the Bridges said safety was taken very seriously at all of its shopping centers. Art Griego on the line with us. Art, you're a photographer. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Well, you know something. Unfortunately, Phil, yes, I have. And it happens, obviously not just in Great Britain. It happens here in the United States. I take pictures. In shopping malls, I take pictures on beaches. I take pictures on sidewalks, you would be surprised at the number of police and the number of security guards. And these security guards, Phil, I know they do very good work and they're very hard workers. But I think some of these security guards think that they are, probably think they're the French Connection, Popeye Doyle or something.
They imagine themselves to be cops, huh?
Oh, yeah, they do. They imagine themselves to be cops. Say, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? What's with all that camera equipment?
And, all right, now you go places with you have a lot of pictures of your children.
I have a lot of pictures of kids, yeah, and I'll go to malls and take the pictures. I'll go to as I said, any place where you've got a nice all-American setting, where you have a good background, where you've got good lighting, although I do have some pretty sophisticated equipment.
Well, how many kids have you got?
How many kids? I didn't hear you, Phil.
How many children do you have, and do you say to cop or do you say to the security officers?
I don't have any kids. I don't have any children of my own.
Well, you don't have any kids of your own?
No, but I do take pictures of kids, and that's what I was talking to you about, this man, this gentleman in England.
So you're not taking pictures of, so you're taking pictures of just kids, are they nephews?
No, I don't have any nephews, I don't have any nieces or anything.
Do you have stepkids?
No. No, my interest is simply in children and photographing them. The reason, Phil, is because they are, children don't pose. They're very natural. They're very candid. Whereas adults are extremely self-conscious. Kids are not. And I get great pictures. And I've got volumes of books. Photo albums.
I guess the thing that I'm talking to you about here, Art, is that you you're not exactly like this father.
In the sense that he's a father,
Yeah, because this is a guy that had to explain to the security guard that he was the father of this little boy that he was photographing.
Well, but it's really not that much different. They'll come up to me and they'll tell me you got to leave the mall, and I'll say why? I'm taking pictures here. They'll say, you know, are they your kids? I said, well, in a sense, they are my kids. I have photo albums that go back 5, 6, 7 years of kids.
And let me ask you something, because maybe I didn't understand. You take pictures of children that are not yours?
No, they're not my kids by blood, no, but they are my kids. When he said, are you taking pictures of your kids? I said, yes. He said, well, you took pictures of a black kid, and then I saw you take pictures of I guess he said Chinese, he should have said Asian. And I told him, I said, that's the wrong way to refer to a young Asian child. You just said that was a Chinese child. And he tried to blow it off like it wasn't a big thing. So I took down his name and his badge number. And
No. But before you get to that, he asked you, were they your kids?
Yeah, he asked me if they were my kids. I said, yes.
And but they're not your kids.
No, they're not my blood kids, but in a way they are my kids.
But for the purposes of that security guard...
Well, for the purposes of what? A security guard that calls an Asian child a little Chinese kid? That your purpose? He's got no purpose in life. That kid, that's a guy that is one rubber bullet shy of being out on the street picking up rappers or something, you know. And so he said to me, I saw you taking pictures of a black kid, a Chinese kid, and then pictures of that Polish, whatever that is. And I said, how do you know he's Polish? So I was very upset. And
no, but what the officer was saying to you, Art, if you just listen to me, was he didn't believe that they were your kids because they were of three different racial types.
Okay.
So we're not talking about your blood children, are we?
No, we're not.
That's what he was asking. Now, you're out at the mall taking pictures of these children. Are they the children of friends?
Let me explain something, Phil, because I think you're going to get... Let me explain something to you and to your listeners who probably don't get it. I go to malls, I go to amusement parks, wherever I want, and I take pictures of children. And I get them in the most candid shots. You know, a kid will be swinging on a monkey beam, or monkey bar, I should say. Or they're dancing into the bathroom, you know, and you follow them in there with a camera. And what you're doing is you're just getting them in these candid shots, that's all.
Well, now, don't you think that a security guard has the right to ask you?
Wait. Why do you say, why am I different from this man? I know that was his son. But
exactly. That was his son. You don't know these kids. Okay?
I'm not laying a hand on these kids. I don't know what it is I don't know what it is that you're referring.
You don't know what it is that I'm inferring or referring to.
Yeah, I don't know what it is that you're inferring or referring to, but I'm not putting my hands on them. All I'm doing is I'm taking their pictures. I don't know them. I don't want to know them.
But you've got, you say, volumes and volumes of photographs of children that you don't know, right?
That I don't, in what sense don't I know them? I feel I've looked at their pictures for years.
In the sense, Art, come on, in the sense that you have never met them, you don't know these children, that's not your son like this man.
You got me on your show to talk about these fascists that are running the security forces at these malls telling me what I get to take a picture of. And the same thing with this guy.
But I didn't know that you were taking pictures of children that are not your kids, that are strange kids, strangers.
See, you call them strange, or this other guy says there goes a Chinese one, but I'm the guy that gets locked out of the mall. How does that work?
I'm not trying to lock you out. I'll tell you what we'll do. Hold the line. 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-PHIL. Your calls for our guest here, Art Griego, as he's... We were talking about a father in Great Britain who was stopped by a security guard and told you can't take pictures of that little boy. Well, it was his own son. And eventually they worked it out. Art has been taking pictures of little kids for a long time. None of them are his kids. They're just strange kids. They're kids in the mall. And he was stopped by a security guard the other day and told that he had to stop and was thrown out of the mall for taking these pictures. He says he has... like volumes of photo albums. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Hendry.
Phil, welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line, we're talking with Art Griego, who is a photographer, a studio photographer, as well as a professional photographer. Although you made most of your money as a pilot, right, Art?
I did thrill commercial and charter flights, but retired. I went into photojournalism for a very small local paper here in Santa Monica, and then started doing studio photography. And now I just, you know, because I'm retired, I like to take pictures.
You're taking pictures of little kids?
Yeah, and I, you know, it's interesting. I just finally sort of got the gist of what it is you're inferring here. You know,
well, look, I'm not inferring anything, Art. I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong.
Well, you're pretty much walking up to the line. You're trying to say that there's something odd about what I like to do. I'm not doing anything wrong. I just happen to like taking photographs of my kids and putting them in these albums.
You know, well, okay, so you have pictures. They're not your kids, you know.
I know they're not my kids, but I consider them my kids when they're on the... This is an artistic... And the more that I talk to you, I know the more of a fruit that I probably sound like. What I'm saying is this is something that I enjoy.
And well, what do you do with these albums?
With the photo albums?
Yeah.
I'll look at them.
You take the photo albums out?
Yes. And I thumb through them. I enjoy looking at my kids.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil, I don't want you to go to a phone call or anything because you're leaving the impression that I sound like some kind of a creep, and I am not. This guy, the father in England, and I are the same guy.
Except you got thrown out of the mall, and he was allowed to continue shopping with his son when they realized it was his son.
And what did I get thrown out of the mall for?
You said that you followed a kid into the bathroom with your camera.
I didn't follow him into the toilet. Kids, as I said, the gift. I said that kids are interesting to take pictures of candidly. Okay?
Right, but if you're following a kid into the bathroom with a camera, people are going to have some thoughts.
Okay, who's got the filthy mind now? Me or the grandmother that turned me in? Because that's who did it. There was an old woman about as nosy as they come.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's get a phone call here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Bill in Houston, Texas. Bill, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, this guy, I work security, and just listening to this last comment that he made, that the grandmother was a nosy biddy. Now, my main question to this gentleman is, if he's collecting all these photos of children and he says that they're interesting to him, is he trying to sell them to the parents of the children, or is he just collecting them and saying, these are my children?
Well, Phil, I resent the implication here that this gentleman, like, I'm some kind of an oddball. You know,
no,
well, what is the answer, though? You know,
I didn't say you were an oddball. You're the only one saying that you're an oddball. You're saying that you're collecting these photos and you're studying them, but are you offering to sell these photos to the parents of the children that you're taking pictures of? That's my question.
Right, right.
I mean, if you're just collecting them for yourself and saying that I look at them in your Stephen King voice, well, that brings concern to me.
In my what? Sir, what does that mean?
Spooky, creepy.
Well, I don't understand it. Well, sir, the only one with any creepy thoughts is you. You're a security guard. You're not, you know, Sherlock Holmes.
No,
Let me ask the question here.
Do you go home with these pictures? Oh, do you try to sell them?
I'm going to sell them. You mean online to some pervert? No.
No, to the parents.
No, I don't sell them to the parents. I don't know who the parents are. I take them home. I put them in my photo albums. I look at them. The gentleman asked, do I study them? Let me say this. They're fully clothed. If I made money off my pictures, I'd feel like I was compromising my work and my integrity. I keep them in albums to look them over. You know,
and
I'll get up in the middle of the night
and
I'll go in for...
would be that you would find that child's parents and say, I took a photo of you. I think your child is interesting. You would turn it into an art instead of a personal collection that you're anonymous to the parent.
This is coming from a security guard? You're telling me what?
Oh, okay.
Boy, that's a laugh.
That's just it. That's the part where you don't understand. There are a lot of retired police officers that go into the security business to stay within that field. I mean, just because you say that security guard, you're going to slander security guards, but then it's like you don't want anyone to call you creepy when what you're doing is basically you're a stalker. You're a predator.
You're calling me. Wait a minute. You're telling me what art is? You're telling me how to be an artist? And you're walking around with your flat feet. Now look,
don't insult this man. Don't insult the man. Okay.
Oh, it's all right. It just goes to show that you're defensive for a reason. You feel in your own mind that there is something creepy in that you're doing, and that
you also understand the word creepy.
That what you're doing is not totally on the up and up. I mean, if you're not putting it out for the public to see, and you have your personal collection of kitty photos and you're putting them on the internet and selling them, you don't know who's out there.
I'm not putting them on the internet and selling them.
Even worse.
And you're the guy that called me creepy. I didn't say anything about it. You said I got a Stephen King voice, which I thought
if you're the one coming from you. If you're the one that's collecting something for your own personal collection and then you
they're
come on the radio
clothed.
Because you like the attention, okay, they're fully clothed. Okay. Who's to say what type of mind that you have when you're easily snapped on this? It's supposed to be an open dialect where you put your opinion out there, but you don't want other people to express their opinion
right.
about how they feel.
Well,
about
I think, and that, let me just grab a moment here because I think you're making a good point, Bill. This is just a man expressing an opinion, and Art, you're being very defensive when you say. I mean, don't you think it's legitimate for us to say, wow, you shouldn't be following a kid into the bathroom?
I told you that I'm an artist, and I take very candid shots. The kid was dancing into the toilet area, and he was unbuckling his pants.
Wait, whoa. See,
I'm
going to
follow you around
right
into
there.
Your bathroom, and I'll just watch you until you undo your zipper and say, okay, now I need to give you your privacy because I know what's going on. The mind works.
You work for Minneapolis PD? I guess so.
What is that, some kind of a joke?
Well, that's what they do in Minneapolis, don't they? The cops walk around trying to get a guy to touch him?
What are you talking about?
What are you doing then? Are you trying to get these kids to touch you? I mean, just like that comment that you're making.
You said you'd follow me into a bathroom and unbuckle my pants.
Would you like for someone to follow you into a restroom? That's what I said to you. If you're going to be this offensive and you want to argue your point, understand what's being said to you and then form a response that doesn't come off to be on the defensive side.
If I can't sleep, I get up, I look at the album of the pictures of the boys and girls on swings, and it calms me down. And you think that's creepy.
Wow.
I think with that comment, I know that there's something not legitimate about what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much, Don Knotts.
Your insults to this. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Back with Art Griego and more of your calls. That's an insult.
Phil Hendry.
He was flattered.
Phil, Art Griego with us. Art is a retired pilot. You know, this all started, this is a conversation, Art, about this father in Sunderland, England, who was stopped by a security guard and told to not take pictures of his own four-year-old son because the security guard thought that this father might be engaged in some sort of pedophilia. Now, this is a father with his own son.
That is my point. This is me with my kids.
No, but these aren't your kids. You're taking pictures of strange children.
They are. Every bit when the police questioned me at my home.
When did the police question you at your home?
I told you that when they told me to leave the mall, the police asked to come to my residence, and I was very happy to let them come to my residence. They wanted in, and I said that wasn't part of what you wanted, and they said no. I said, well, in that case, I can't let you in, because they wanted to take my children, if you will, and analyze them as if it was just meat hanging on a hook someplace. These are the children of this new millennium. And when I look at these children, I see the future of our country, and they would turn this into something filthy. They would turn this into something that is so reprehensible and vile that I wanted to assault this police officer, and I didn't, but I knew it was in his foul cop mind, these ideas.
And let's not insult our police, okay?
I knew it was in his mind.
But can I ask you a question?
Who's stopping you, Mr. Hendry? I've been insulted.
No, I don't want to insult you. I wanted to ask you. You're taking pictures of children that you don't know, right?
Yeah.
How do you choose which child you want to photograph?
Well, now you're getting into something that is very, what I call very personal and very sacred. You're asking me what? You're asking me?
I'm asking you just how do you choose which kid?
Now, that's very personal. That's sacred. Those are things that I don't think, you wouldn't ask anybody. You wouldn't have the temerity to ask anyone something as personal and as intrusive as that.
I'm simply asking you, sir.
That is a very sacred thing.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to a phone call here. Leo, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Leo, go ahead, sir.
Well, hello, Phil. I told you, screener, I said, this guy Art is a bit of a wacko, first of all, for not listening to what your story in England was all about. And then as I'm sitting here waiting to get on, I heard the story. Start talking about bathroom techniques. I mean, what the hell is that all about? I mean, it was just getting weirder and weirder. But you know, there are hundreds of people that heard the story
about the father in England, and it's the same story that I have. My children are being pawed over by the local cops, and I said, "Don't touch my children." You see, Leo.
Yeah, they're pawed over by the cops?
Yeah, I had my albums with my children in them, and the cop says, who are these? I said, these are children that I've seen. And
right.
He said to me, are you some kind of a weirdo? And that's when I said, you know what, officer, I've never been in jail. Don't tempt me.
You didn't talk to the cop that way.
I most certainly did. And the cop said to me, I have to take this for evidence. In case you're some kind of a sick, weird, you know, one of these guys that they get their, you know what I'm saying, right? And so they took my children.
Well, you know, Phil,
there
are hundreds of people languishing in jail right now.
They took my children from me.
The police have found all kinds of
My name is Art. My name is Art, and I don't have pictures
on. Just having them on their computers.
I, you're absolutely right, Leo.
Well, let me ask this guy a question, Phil.
Go ahead.
Hey, Leo.
Yes.
Have you got anything on your computers? Yeah.
The golden retrievers.
Yeah.
Does that make me a person of bestiality?
Golden retrievers, is that code for something?
No,
golden
dogs.
Retrievers are my kids with fur, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Okay, you don't think that that's weird, huh, collecting pictures of dogs? You think that's fine. I collect pictures of human beings. I'm weird. You got pictures of dogs. And everybody loves you.
Well,
these pictures
right.
help me wind.
But the thing
well,
is,
these pictures help me wind down. It helps me get to sleep at night.
What the pictures of the kids?
Taking a very, very short step from what you're doing to pedophilia. It's a very short step,
Leo,
between just taking pictures of kids and saving them and preserving them, and you know having album fulls of pictures of little kids that aren't your own. You know, I've got a lot of pictures of my grandchildren.
Okay. What's the difference?
Don't even go there.
Wait a minute. What is the difference?
Exactly
He's got
right.
pictures
no,
of
exactly
dogs.
Right.
And, wait a minute. He's got pictures of dogs and his grandkids, and everybody probably thinks that he's just the greatest thing since the second coming of Don Amici. And I'm a perv? Because what?
They're not your kids, because you never had kids.
You're one step away.
You're one step away, Art. You're the guy that has a computer loaded with shots of golden retrievers, and you're not one step away? Man.
No, because this guy, along with so many other Americans, breed dogs. They show dogs, okay?
Okay.
Well, when's the last time you heard about a kid show?
A what?
Do they have a kid show at Westminster?
You know what? Ask about Acorn and their kid shows.
Both of you guys, you're calling me nuts. Here's a guy talking about Acorn having kid shows? All I wanted
to
do.
Yeah, well, you saw the video.
Was
you
to
saw
have
the video.
My heart. Huh? Look, at not all of the kids I photograph are attractive, so it's not pedophilia. You can't call it pedophilia when a lot of these kids put me off with their looks.
Oh, you know, with everything you say, man.
No.
No, with everything you say, you dig it deeper and deeper and deeper. Look, Leo, thanks so much for your phone call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ray. Ray, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, sir.
How are you?
Everything you say, I'm very good. Thank you very much, sir. Everything you say, you're digging it deeper.
What? Listen, I got one thing I'd like to ask. You know, he was talking about his grandmother reported him following this child into the bathroom. First, she was on guard, and that's what she should have been doing, because I'd want somebody. I watch my surroundings for things like this just going on. And for another part of it, he should also ask the parents if it's okay to photograph their child. If he's not doing that, he's going beyond what he would call being an artist. I have done that.
I will ask them. Most of the time, they look at me like I'm a creep, and I feel that that's prejudicial and bigoted.
No way. You are a creep. I mean, in America, we don't do that. I mean, we don't stalk kids into the bathroom and take pictures of kids in bathrooms.
Sir,
that's just not it.
No, it wasn't the bathroom. It wasn't that he was in a bathroom. It was that he was skipping. He skipped into the bathroom, and I thought it was an interesting move. So in order not to attract a lot of attention, I skipped behind it with the camera.
No wonder that woman called security.
Why? Because I'm taking a candid picture of a child. Boy, you know, don't you gentlemen realize how sick your minds are? And
the little boy skipped into the bathroom, and so that you wouldn't attract attention, you skipped behind him.
Yes.
And then when did you take behind you? She should have had a daggone stick when you walked in there.
Well, you know, Grandma was doing a good job.
I give it a high five for Grandma. Hey, Phil, that's all I got.
Sir, I am trying very hard. You know, but if this isn't an episode of Hee Haw, you know, this woman is
no. Look, have some respect.
The lady, I looked around and there was this old bag eyeballing me up and down, and I said to myself, you know, I know the look. I know the look from, it goes back many, many, it goes back centuries, really, in our culture. When you turn around and you look at some old woman with her nose squinched up and her eyeballs set together, and this is a look that goes back centuries. And I knew then and there that a piece of art was going to be befouled by another member of life's concentration camp guards. Hello?
You know something, man.
Oh, you really, man? What, man?
You know, you're over the top. It doesn't even begin to tell the story of a guy like you. Life's concentration camp guard. That old lady called that security guy because she saw you with a camera skipping behind a little kid into a bathroom. Frank in Iowa City, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
I get all kinds of insults, I'll tell you that.
Good, sir. Thank you for calling.
This guy, you're a professional photographer, so you can understand, you know, taking pictures of kids, you know, if you're selling it for advertisement or anything else, you know, that's understandable. You know, catching kids and moments.
I'm not selling it. I'm too much of an artist to sell it.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, when you're doing this for your own personal thing and it's something that helps you go to sleep, and you're following children in the bathroom, you know, you got to realize you're stepping over the bounds there. You know, it's one thing to be an artist, but it's another thing to invade people's privacy. What you're doing here is not right.
No, I can ask the host. You've got me answering questions. These people are not professional psychologists.
No, but they are human beings. They're people who are out in the... You know something? Let me tell you something, Mark. this world would be a better place if the average man, the average woman, like Frank or people, took more of an appreciation and a concern about our fellow men. If we look around ourselves and see stuff that's going on, he doesn't have to be a professional. He knows what behavior is threatening.
Oh, really? I'm skipping into the bathroom.
You're skipping into a bathroom behind a little kid?
That's common sense.
Are you going to tackle me for the skipping into a bathroom?
Child in the bathroom to take a picture of him. That's common sense.
Wait a minute.
Are you telling me you've never
gone to a men's room behind a little kid?
We're not talking about that, man.
Take a photograph. Come on. Think about it.
You know something?
Even if I sat around, Roy, say I had kids and I sat around and I looked at pictures of them to help me go to sleep, and they're my children, that would be weird. Come on now.
That's weird.
You're taking pictures of other children and going and using them to go to sleep. Now that's just not normal.
It relaxes me, okay?
Where do you keep these pictures?
I told you that is sacred.
Where you keep the pictures is sacred.
Oh, you guys make a joke out of that too?
Mr. Grego, where...
It's just weird.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
The things I do are weird. The things I do, what do I do that's weird?
What do I do that's weird, sir?
What do I do? Okay, is it weirder than living
you
in
Iowa City? You have photographs of probably thousands of people's kids who you don't even know, and you keep them in your personal collection, and you sit there and you use them to help yourself through that night in the middle of the night or to go to bed or to thumb through for your own personal
You guys are thinking what I think you're thinking. You guys are sick. Why are you guys racist against photographers? What?
Sir, we're the ones racist against
here. Why are you racist against photographers?
All right. It's got nothing to do with being racist. Frank, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. It's got nothing to do with being racist.
You know, I'm looking at Red Eye right now, and there's a priest on there. There's a priest on there with makeup, and he's talking, and everybody loves his ass. Excuse my language, but they do. And I'm on the hot seat here because I take pictures. And there's a priest, and Gutfield's giving him all kinds of love. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you don't get it, huh?
No, I don't get it. I don't get you. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Art Griego and all these racists and bigots against photographers on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Art Griego on the line with us. Art, you've had a very distinguished career as a pilot. Going into photography, it sounds to me like suddenly, your interest is all I'm trying to say. You know,
well, my interests are unhealthy, according to you.
I don't want to say your interests are unhealthy, Art. I think that when you say things like, you know, you don't want to tell me how you pick the kids out because it's sacred, I worry. You know.
Well, thanks very much, but you don't need to worry. Okay.
No,
you don't need to worry, okay? Yeah, I do worry. I got a wife that can worry, and I've got a... What do you mean you worry?
It doesn't sound healthy. Let me go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Annette in Las Vegas. Go ahead, Annette.
Worry.
This is where in California?
Where are you, Art?
Yeah, I'm in Santa Monica.
Right.
Oh, I grew up in Santa Monica. My late husband was an internationally known photojournalist. He's hung in the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art. But here in Las Vegas,
what did you say about her husband?
He has his work in the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art in New York City.
I understand. The way you said it originally sounded...
Is hung. That means it's displayed for public appreciation. I have over 5 million negatives that I sell out of. Our daughter is a famous architectural photographer. I know what I'm talking about. But I'm also a licensed master social work, and I investigate children who have been sexually molested. and you show every classical symptom of a pedophile, I would have to say that if I were making a clinical diagnosis, you are one. Now, pedophiles don't always...
Wait a minute. You got a husband that was in the museum, and your daughter is a this, and you're that. This is absolute slander. This is slander.
Excuse me. No,
And if I find out who you are... I will get those paintings or those pictures as the down payment on the money you'll owe me from a lawsuit.
Excuse me, no.
Wait a second.
I'm an expert witness. I'm sorry. I am protected
legally. How much does it cost to have you testify? I bet you it costs a pretty penny, doesn't it?
In other words,
you're for sale. You're for sale, aren't you?
I work for Las Vegas Metropolitan Police.
Metropolitan Museum Police?
No, I work for the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
Well, if I
and
paid
I've
you
taped,
enough, wouldn't you come?
I have taped
you come
your,
and
I have
say
taped
that what
this.
I do is normal.
All right, now hold on.
No,
and that
absolutely
is an expert.
Not normal.
And if I paid you enough, couldn't you sit as my witness and say that I am a normal man?
No,
I paid you enough,
I can't because I can't lie. I cannot perjure myself.
What do you call lying? If I said to you, Annette, if you came to my home and you looked at the pictures. And I said, I've never laid a hand on these kids. I will follow them into the toilet area, but it's not because I want to see anything. It's
no,
just
I'm
I want
sorry.
To get a good
that
shot.
That is abnormal.
Boy, that sounds,
it is a
that really, it sounds weird.
It is pedophilic. I'm sorry.
Pedophilic?
Yeah.
But, you know, these are words, pedophilic. It sounds like the L.A. Pedophilic Orchestra. You know, it doesn't mean anything. What I'm trying to say is something artistic.
I think... Excuse me, my professional diagnosis, and it would have to be very quick, because you show every single symptom of being a pedophile. You are but one thin line from stepping over and harming a child. And I really hope, I'm sorry the Santa Monica police mishandled it, and since I still have connections in Santa Monica,
hold on, we don't know if it was the Santa Monica police. Was it Art?
No, but I'm not going to say who, because I don't need her busybody nose sticking in.
Well, they need
all right.
I don't need her calling every cop station in L.A. bothering them at this time of night.
I'll do it when I get
you're
to
really...
work in the morning.
Oh, wait a minute. I find it very convenient that your husband and daughter are photographers. Now, what are you? Are you a doctor?
I have a master's. I'm a licensed social worker.
Okay, well, you can't diagnose.
Oh, yes,
it's
I
right
can.
There. No, you can't.
Oh, yes, I
you
can.
You can't diagnose. Can you prescribe medicine?
Has
then
nothing to
diagnose.
Do with medicine. I could recommend you see a doctor,
But you cannot prescribe unless you can prescribe me drugs that can calm it down. And I think you know what I mean by it.
Yeah,
now,
I do.
I want to ask this lady. Okay, I want to ask you a question.
So I would recommend you see a medical doctor and
that you
see a psychiatrist. Unless you want to really harm children and you want to be in jail.
No, I don't want to harm children. What I really want to do, what if I told you what I really want to do is sleep with you? You'd say no, and you should.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And do you sleep with your wife?
You don't want me harming children, but you won't even let me sleep with you. I question this lady's motives, Phil.
What are you talking about, man? This lady's calling up and talking about something serious.
Okay, and I'm saying, would she sleep with me? And she said no. So how can she lie?
Your wife? One question. Do you sleep with your wife? I mean, have sex.
She doesn't like me. She doesn't like me having the album in the bedroom.
She has every right to. That's a good
separate,
judgment.
We have separate beds.
That is one of the classic marriage of convenience
Desi,
that is not
Desi and
marriage.
Lucy had separate beds. Desi and Lucy had separate beds. How do you feel about that? See?
Yeah, on television.
Yeah, no, not television. In real life. Don't. See, she thinks it's all funny. Kids getting touched.
No, she doesn't. Phil Hendry.
I hate you.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.